Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. I am sitting here with a cup of coffee, and Daniel just went down for a nap, and Luke is with the other five kids taking our two oldest cats. I'll tell the cat story in a little bit. To get spayed this morning because we had 14 kittens over the summer, which you might have remembered, or in the spring, I believe. So I just wanted to talk about summer on the homestead, late summer, how things are going. There's a lot of new things going on and projects and animals. And so for all of you homesteader type people, or if you're thinking about a homestead someday, I don't know if these little insights into what's going on around here and how the whole thing is progressing is helpful for you, but I feel like there's so many little things that go on that bloggers don't really share, because you share projects like how to build the goat milk stand or how to build raised garden beds, but sometimes that daily life and how things are progressing, seeing, you know, what's going wrong, what's going well, is helpful along the way. It's starting to get a little bit cooler here, and I don't know about you, but that is the only time of year that my hands sometimes get a little bit dry and cracked, and I need some moisturizer on my lips. If you have not yet grabbed my Natural Body ebook, I have recipes for making your own body butter, lip balm, sugar scrub, all those cozy winter essentials. You can get your free copy at farmhouseonboon.com/natural-body-ebook. That's farmhouseonboon.com/natural-body-ebook. There will also be a link down in the show notes below. My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. This episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast is sponsored by Berkey Water Filters. We have had our Berkey Water Filter sitting on our counter for about 10 years now. When we were on city water back in our last house, it gave me such peace of mind to know that the Berkey was filtering out all of the viruses and bacteria, the chlorine. The taste is just amazing. Even here in our new farmhouse, we are on well water. We still use the Berkey. We've gotten used to the pure taste of water that you get from a Berkey water filter that is nothing like any of the other filters I've tried. I chose the Berkey water filter because of how many things and toxins that it filters out, but also the filter cost. It was the most economical system per gallon that I could find on the market, and I've been a happy customer ever since. Berkey has partnered with me and given me a special discount just for Simple Farmhouse Life podcast listeners. You can find the bundle deals that they have put together just for you over at bit.ly/farmhouseberkey. That's bit.ly/farmhouseberkey, B-E-R-K-E-Y, all one word. I was just notified that they just got a huge shipment of Berkeys in. These systems have gone crazy through the whole pandemic and quarantine, and they just keep selling out. So we've been trying to do a partnership for a while, and it hasn't worked because they keep running out of Berkeys. Well, today, as I'm making this little recording here, they have a whole new stock of them, so get in on the bundle deal while they're still in stock. All right, so first let's talk about Bess. My kids named our little Guernsey heifer Bessie. I realize it's not that original, but that was the first thing that popped in their brain. So she is now 5 months old, and we had an issue in August, so early August, it's obviously still August, where the pen that they're in, the goats and Bessie, was getting really muddy and gross. So we had a really wet August so far, lots of rain, which is crazy. We had a dry July, and then it just started pouring. And this was about a few weeks into getting Bess, and really the pen that they're all in right now is too small. We are on someone's list, a local fence builder's list, to get fencing around our whole property, and I have big dreams of Bess grazing and mostly just grass fed, but we're not at that stage yet. I called the fence guy a few days ago, and he said that all of his projects were delayed and that we are gonna be most likely in October. And so we really needed to get something figured out because we have six goats and a 5 month old calf all in this, I don't know what square footage it would be. It's not tiny. It's enough, but it's definitely not a long-term solution. And then with the drainage issues we were having, we had a huge mess. So every morning when I'd go out to milk, I kid you not, I was up to well past my ankles in my muck boots in just like mud and muck, and it drove me insane. I told Luke that I just cannot take this level of dirty and gross. I like everything nice and clean. So each morning when I'm out milking, I scoop poop and I just make sure to keep the place tidy. And this was thwarting my efforts. There was absolutely no way I was gonna be able to keep it clean with that kind of drainage issue. So Luke went out there one night and he scooped all of that muck up. He had multiple wheelbarrow loads because that's about the extent of the equipment we have right now. Just good old back labor, shovel and a wheelbarrow. He did this after a big rain so that it was really easy to scoop. It wasn't dry. It was just like piling it in. And then he leveled it off a little bit so that the grade fell away from the barn. And then he got a load of gravel screenings from a local nursery. And we don't really know if that's right because ultimately now that area can no longer grow grass, but it's right next to the entrance into the barn. So if you walk into our pen with the grass, if you go to the right and go into the big barn door, that's where this pile and problem was happening. And so I think that it'll always be a high foot traffic area because they're going in and out to get their hay and then back out to graze. So it seemed like a good idea and it is so much better. There's literally no mud. It's just all grass and then gravel, and I can clean everything really easily. It's so much better. So because of the fencing not being able to come until October, I really still wanted Bessie to get access to fresh grass. And so I've started tethering her every morning. Now, if you aren't familiar with what that means, basically every morning when I go to milk, I put a halter and a lead on Bessie and then I just bring her out to fresh grass and tie her to a tree. Now this is risky and you'll hear from some people not to do it. We only do it when we're home and so we can keep an eye on her. If she gets hung up in any way, we can move her and make sure that she's not. Now I have found that she can get her, if she wraps the rope at all around her hoof, she can pick it up and get out of it really easily. The only time I've seen her struggle is when my dog Jack-Jack goes out there. So Jack-Jack is a good livestock guard dog. He's a Great Pyrenees mixed with an Anatolian Shepherd, and I find that he's really good with the chickens. He doesn't hurt anything. He keeps predators away, but he's not used to Bessie just yet. I can see why he would think she's scary. She's 10 times his size. I don't know, not 10 times, probably 5 times his size. And Bessie likewise is scared of Jack. So they have these interactions where Bessie kicks him and headbutts him, and Jack just does not get the hint. He just keeps nipping at her and barking at her. And I have to separate them because otherwise she'll get anxious. And then that is when she gets hung up and I have to really help her get out. So until they get used to each other, which we're giving them small doses of each other right now so that this won't continue to happen. But until then, I have to keep Jack away from her when she's tethered. Otherwise, she's very calm. She's just grazing. She's really not trying to get away. And one time, she did actually get away because whenever I went to clip the lead onto the halter, I left the little part that comes back up. And so the hook came undone. And I found her out there just grazing away in a different spot. I brought some grain over really calmly. It was no problem. She didn't run. With cattle, they're really not trying to get away. Actually, I grew up on a cattle farm and an elk farm. We had two different kinds of animals. And the cattle, we could just enclose with one strand of barbed wire and they didn't get out because they see their boundary and they don't really try to throw their weight into getting away from it. Whereas the elk, we had to put up 8-foot tall game fence. So even though the goats that we have are tiny, they are significantly harder to keep fenced in than the cow. And so with her, just this perceived boundary of a rope on her makes her think not to pull away and get away. She could. Where I have her tied up, she could get away so easily if she wanted to. She just doesn't try. So we've also been taking a little T-post and just putting it around in areas where there isn't a tree around the property, but where there's really lush grass. And she doesn't even try to pull the T-post over. She totally could, but she so far has not realized that she has that kind of power. So I got a little bit ahead of myself with Bessie there because I haven't explained to you yet how I halter trained her. Now I did grow up in 4-H. So I don't know where 4-H is popular, but it's definitely popular in the Midwest. So if you're not a Midwest person or all the other places 4-H is, the way it works is if you're doing steers, so we sell steers every year at a livestock auction, and you get a yearling. So when they're one, you bring them into a weigh-in in February or March, and then the goal is all summer to fatten them up for the auction and train them to a halter. It's not super easy, especially because they're already a little bit older, but the way that you do it is you just put a halter on them every day. You tie them up a little bit, and whenever they pull against the rope that's tied up, they learn that if they don't put that tension on the rope, that it's more comfortable. Pretty soon, you're able to just lead them around, no problem. Bessie was so much easier than that. Or maybe it's just because I'm older and I don't, you know, when you're a kid and you have to do the laundry and it's like, oh, it feels like such a big thing. Maybe it was that same thing and it just felt like a bigger job than it was, but this was no problem. And I think it's because she's so much younger, or possibly just me being an adult. But it really was so simple. I started with a rope halter, went up there and put it on her. Now, the first time was difficult. She didn't want me near her face and putting it on her, but I'd already gotten used to her just by petting her and brushing her up till this time. So it wasn't terribly hard. I got the rope halter on her, tried to lead her around. At first, they're super stubborn. She wouldn't even budge. And then I was able to get her over to a fence post and tie her up, and I just left her tied up for a couple of hours. After that, I did that maybe 3 days, and she learned that tension thing, and now every morning I go right up to her, put the halter on her. I actually have a more like a show halter that is on her, and I just clip the lead rope to it. And then she goes right with me out to pasture. It was amazingly easy. So there's the cow update. We figured out our drainage issues. We halter trained Bess, and now she is tethered daily to have access to fresh grass. All right, next, goat update. I don't think I've updated on here since Blair had Snowflake. Maybe I have. So Blair had Snowflake 3.5 weeks ago, and I milked her for the first time this morning. So every night my routine, and this is actually something that my girls do, we put Jenny's goat kids in a separate pen so that they can't nurse overnight. Now this allows her milk supply to build up overnight so I can milk her in the morning, and then we reunite them in the morning. Well, last night was the first time that we put Blair's kid named Snowflake in with the other three kids. I wanted to wait until she was old enough to be nightweaned, one, and then two, I wanted to make sure that she was as big as the other goat kids, or at least strong enough that if they wanted to gang up on her or something, they wouldn't be able to do it. Because Snowflake is a larger breed, she is actually already larger at 3 weeks old than the 4-month-old triplets. So we put them together last night, and then this morning I went out to milk both goats. Now the way this works, if you're curious, because this is all something that I've never been around. I grew up on a farm, but it wasn't a small hobby farm like this where you have a couple of goats and chickens and a cow, and it's just a bunch of different things. So we only have one goat milking stand. So what I do is I have a dog chain out there, and I first clipped Jenny in to that. And I gave Blair a little bit of grain in the goat milk stand, and I milked Blair while Jenny was tied up, and then I swapped them and milked Jenny while Blair was tied up and giving Jenny some grain in the goat milk stand. Now, I felt so bad for Jenny because she's used to going straight up to the goat milk stand, so she ran up there with enthusiasm and didn't realize she was tied up and kind of sprung back, and I just felt so terrible. They are amazing. Animals are amazing at getting used to a routine. So every morning, Bessie knows she's gonna go get tethered. Jenny knows to jump up on the goat milk stand. Blair expects some grain, which I give her, even though she's not normally milked. So anyways, I milked Blair, and a first time freshen, which is what you call it whenever an animal comes into milk for the first time. They are jumpy and hard to milk because clearly they're like, what are you doing down here? Why are you pulling my teats? These are for my kid. And so she was really jumpy as usual, and I had to get used to milking her because her teats weren't like Jenny's. They kind of, I don't know how to describe this, but they kind of go outward. And so the milk was missing the bucket, and so I found that I had to do one at a time. I think it'll be a lot easier tomorrow and the days after. I remember with Jenny, it was like so tricky the first couple times, and now it's easy. She stands there, she's used to it, it's our routine, and I'm able to get the milk from her. So with Blair, I got a pretty good amount of milk, and then she kicked the bucket, which is just so frustrating because half the milk was gone. And my son, who comes out with me every morning, even said, "You should stop. She's getting jumpy." And I'm like, "No, I'm gonna get a little bit more." So I was getting greedy, and then I lost half of it, or at least half of it. I put it into a separate container this first time because I didn't know how it was gonna taste. And I've heard that different breeds can taste different, and I just wanted to taste test it on its own. So after I finished milking her, I poured it into a glass container, and then I milked Jenny in the bucket. And when I brought it in and strained it, it tastes exactly like Jenny's. So I think from here on out, I'm just going to milk both goats into the same bucket. Now, if Jenny would kick the bucket like towards the end of her milking and I lost all that milk, that'd be frustrating. So maybe I'll bring out a glass jar. I don't know. These are all these things you think of that you'd never thought of before. And you figure out a routine, and it's the fun part and the learning curve of homesteading. So there's the goats. I believe we're gonna be getting about a half a gallon of milk a day from these two. I get a quart from each goat, and I'm also listed recently Jenny's kids for sale. They're 4-month-old triplets. They're ready to go. They don't need to nurse anymore. And so I'm hoping that by doing a twice a day milking, because she won't have her kids on her at all, that I'll get a half gallon from Jenny and then a quart from Blair, because we really need at least a half gallon a day. Without getting a half gallon, I still have to go to milk pickup weekly to get raw milk from a local farm. But I'd like it to all come from us. As far as the chickens go, our new layers aren't laying yet, and I'm actually really skeptical of that because my sister and my friend Stephanie both got chicks at the same time and theirs are laying. So what I think is happening is that because they're free range, there's a pile somewhere that we just haven't found yet. So Luke built a little nesting box. We put straw and fake eggs that I found online in there, and I'm hoping that they're gonna see it and think this is where I should now lay my eggs. So that is just one of those issues with free ranging. It's wonderful because they can pick through grass and bugs. They actually, this is disgusting, but chickens like to find bugs under cow poop. So it's a nice synergistic homestead type thing to have cattle and chickens. And so it's really great to have them all free like that. You don't have to feed them as much. They just get water from the other animals' water. It's really easy, low maintenance, but the problem can come if they find a nesting area that isn't the one that you've designated. So we're working on that. And I told Luke we should just be putting little nesting boxes all throughout the property with straw and fake eggs, and then maybe they'll find a few, get used to them, and then that will be where they're laying their eggs. I don't mind gathering it from a few spots. It's just whenever I know that there's probably a massive pile somewhere going to waste that's bothering me. So that's how the chickens are going. Our older ones still, even though we let them out all day, they still go and lay in their designated spot that they got used to a long time ago in the chicken tractor. So that's working out fine, but those new ones aren't earning their keep just yet. All right, as far as the garden, this is one of those real moments where you guys think I do it all and I totally don't. I have let that thing go so bad. It is just weeds. I'm still getting tomatoes, some tomatoes, peppers, jalapenos, pumpkins, and we did just pick a harvest of carrots, but it's bad. I have this problem every year. People are putting in their fall gardens, and I am so over gardening. I just don't care. I have zero motivation, and I should, I know. As a homesteader, this is not something that you should do. You should put in a fall garden, but all my energy now, it's been getting down into the 50s overnight. It's cool. It's just going into making the house cozy for fall and winter mode. I just have no motivation. It's all been turned indoors. So I'm wrapping up a few makeover type things. I'm working on the living room. We are getting a wood stove installed. It'll actually be fully in tomorrow. The chimney guy came yesterday and wrapped it with brick, which that whole thing is coming to the YouTube channel in the next couple weeks. So you can see what I'm even talking about here. It's looking beautiful, I'm loving it, and it's just where my mind has turned to. All things indoors and cozy, so I have nothing good to report to you on the garden. I didn't preserve anything. We used things throughout the summer, but I didn't preserve any herbs. I didn't preserve anything at all. And I have some really beautiful pumpkins to show for it, but that's about it. So I'm sorry I don't have much to report there. I guess I got too excited about my goats and then my interior. All right, well, I hope that you enjoyed this update of late summer on the homestead. We are learning things constantly here at this property, just by adding on little bits here and there. We're forced to learn things as we go. I'm really enjoying the process. I'm enjoying it for my kids too. It's such an experience for them to learn things in this hands-on way, and I'm loving that. Make sure, if you have not already, to grab my Natural Body ebook. It's 10 all-natural body recipes to keep toxins away. It's a free ebook. You can make your own lotion, diaper cream, toothpaste, lip balm, all right there in a free ebook you can open right on your tablet or phone or print out for easy access. You can get that at farmhouseonboone.com/natural-body-ebook. There will also be a link down in the show notes below. All right, well, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast, and I'll see you in the next one.